The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Doug Howler. Doug Howler from The Athletic. Super talented Doug Howler. He wrote something about Chris Farley last week. It caught my eye. And actually a few weeks ago that I read it. And I want to have him on to talk about that. And we bounce around because Doug is mad about town with The Athletic. And we'll hit on a whole bunch of things that will be with Doug Howler. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. If I look a little bleary-eyed, it's because last night I sat in here at my monitor over here, and I took in 2 hours and 15 minutes that I will never, ever get back again. It was Arizona State's final game of the season in basketball. And yeah, the game was over pretty early, but I just had to see if they're going to fight to the end. And they did, you know, as best they could. But with the tournament now in place, Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. By the way, I miss Bill Walton. I don't know if you've noticed Bill's not been around lately. He's been some health concerns, and we'll see, but I miss hearing Bill on the games. So ASU loses by 33, and it probably should have been 63. And today, of course, it is all fire Bobby Hurley, even though it's not his fault that this is the mess that they are in. And you will say, well, of course it's his fault. He's the head coach. No, if you really take a good look and peel the onion back, it's the president, and that's that. I thought it was interesting that, I don't know if you've seen today, that Nebraska is probably losing their athletic director, Trev Alberts, highly regarded, highly respected. And the governor of Nebraska is weighing in today on the Board of Regents, saying, you guys need to fix this. What it would be like if Katie Hobbs said, why is it such a bleep show over at ASU with their athletic department? Why is that? Well, how would that work here in Arizona? Oh, keep your mind out. There's more important things. I don't know. In Nebraska, they feel like it's a certain way. Well, then move to Nebraska, Brad. No, thanks. I like it here just fine. But, yeah, there'll be all this stuff about Bobby being fired. And he, look, they may, because they just don't know what they're doing. And Bobby may finally say, you know what? The definition of insanity is being at a place where they just don't get it, and they don't want to get it, and they don't have a clue. Some nice people, some very talented people over there at ASU. Unfortunately, there's not nearly enough of them, and there's not a leader at the top. And so this is the mess that we're left with. Another year, another coach that may end up just saying, I've had enough. I mean, you tell me, there's some jobs open right now. Is West Virginia a better job than Arizona State? Yes. Is Vanderbilt a better job than Arizona State? Yes. I mean, I don't know why Bobby continues to bang his head. And they'll bring somebody else in, and the fan base will get excited, and the same stuff's going to happen. Until a shovel goes in the ground and until the president moves on, this is how it is. Just go look at the, you know, I could put Rob Evans with truth serum in him, or Bill Frieder with truth serum in him. You know, or Herb Sendek or Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley's and Herb Sendek's record are pretty similar. Is that because, well, they just don't know how to coach? Or is it because, well, there's a whole lot of problems going on behind the scenes? I'm wondering about USC and U of A today. I watched how U of A has kind of done this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then it's kind of the same old story. They have the player of the year in Caleb Love, who wasn't here last year when they crapped the bed in the first round against Princeton. But, you know, here they are. They've got USC today, the midday game, and USC, I think, is playing better. Andy Enfield is one of those guys that gets his team ready towards the end of the season. On paper, this should be no contest. But I'd be really interested to see if USC gives them a game today, because I think they will. It'll be one of those hectic, frantic Andy Enfield type of games where U of A's got to play their game and not be in the track meet back and forth. I can't see a track meet being good for U of A today. I can't. So And you know, the March Madness thing, I've seen GCU as high as an 11 seed. Like, GCU doesn't play until tomorrow night. Jordan Hamm's going to be there. We'll be in Vegas with GCU and, if need be, over at U of A. I think GCU is a far more interesting story right now in town and in the state. Now, we've seen U of A through the years say they're going to be in the finals, and then 24 years later, it still hasn't happened. So, and, you know, the idea that U of A and GCU could be in the same region. Last year we were in Denver, and ASU and GCU were together. If U of A and GCU are together in Salt Lake City next week, I might be in Salt Lake City. I may be intrigued enough to go to that. We've traveled throughout March Madness through the years, and I've taken kind of a different approach this year with the Final Four being here and the in-state teams not looking like. Of course, U of A fans say, what do you mean we don't look like we're a Final Four team? No, you're on the two line. You're fine. You're good. But I'm all about what's the more interesting story, and GCU is easily that to me. But it's a weird year because Kansas has lost four or five. Like, Kansas has just crashed and burned. And, yeah, they don't have two of their better players together, but it feels like this tournament, as we're coming down the stretch, that it will have the San Diego State, Florida Atlantic type feel to it. And maybe that's just the norm now. Yeah, Connecticut looks like the best team to me. Yeah, Purdue has the best player, looks like to me. The best guard might be with U of A, maybe. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and I can find myself sitting and watching a lot of games throughout this weekend. The Cardinals, the Super Cardinals, they released DJ Humphreys. What I know for DJ Humphreys is he was always there in the locker room when I used to go into locker rooms. It's fine. Heard from people that he's been great. I don't go in there anymore because it's just turned into this, you're not allowed, you have certain amounts of time. There's media companies that are given special treatment because they pay a rights fee. I don't play games like that. And so there's no reason to be in there. I can see with my own two eyes, DJ Humphreys jumping off sides, false start. I can see that. And that's basically what he was known for on the field. Yeah, he was there every year. He was there for nine seasons. He made one Pro Bowl in nine seasons, a first round pick. It's not really good. I'm being kind, not bashing him. It's just the first round pick should be more than just one Pro Bowl appearance in 9 years. And part of that has to do with the organization not being good. So they turn around, they sign Jonah Williams from Cincinnati. Sounds great. What's gone on over there in the last 12 months? I would say I trust Monty Austin for it to make a good signing. Looks like he has. I don't need to have the big splash. Pretty clear to me that you don't need to now spend a second round pick on an offensive lineman. You don't need to. Last year, they spent a first-round pick on offensive linemen. This year, they go into free agency, and that's their first big move. All right, so your line is now two-fifths of the way there, or maybe it's more. So they make that move. Atlanta is interesting to me now. Kirk Cousins is one of these guys that, in Minnesota, I never felt like he'd get him over the hump. And he signed with Atlanta and yesterday spoke about coming into a situation where the owner, the general manager, the head coach, they're all on the same page about trying to win a title, which I thought was a direct shot at the Vikings. There are a lot of Viking fans here in the Valley just assume see Kirk Cousins move on. But it's, you can't deny that you have Kyle Pitts at tight end, you have Bijan Robinson at running back, now you have Kirk Cousins, you have some wide receivers, like, pretty good team. Bring this up because the NFC, if you're sitting there rooting for your Super Cardinals, who's gotten better so far? Detroit. What's Detroit done? Well, they extended their coach and extended their general manager. That is stability. That is not turning things over again and again and again. Got to get past Detroit. Has Seattle gotten better? They lost Bobby Wagner. He goes over to the Commanders. Have the Commanders gotten better? Like, who's a team that has taken a big, fat step back over in the NFC so far? You can make the case the Rams have. You can make the case that Seattle's always rebuilding. You can make the case for most any team. I have to look at where the Super Cardinals are and say they are a long ways away from being competitive. You got to get 9-10 wins to get in the postseason, or be mired in mediocrity and be right around 6 or 7 and get people excited. Are the Chicago Bears better? Find out what the draft has done. Are they going to handle it the right way? They can improve themselves in a hurry, not just by taking a quarterback. Could trade out of it. So there's a lot of stuff around the draft that's interesting. Suns play at Boston tonight. They played Boston last week. They didn't have Devin Booker. Devin Booker had his greatest scoring night at Boston with a really bad team back in the day where it was fine to launch 40 shots. So I'm interested in that game tonight. I am. I will watch. It's now middle of March. There's a reason to watch the NBA every night once you get it to about this point, along with college basketball. So there's that. And then I'm probably going to head to the Diamondbacks today after we're done with this. To go, they have Kansas City today, so I'll probably do that. There's a lot of stuff up on the website if you've not been over there to check out. I don't usually do this push, but we did a cool segment with Shannon Leibrock the other day, our photographer, but she has a foundation that you need to know about. She had a football son who was an All-American who's now finished up. She learned a lot about that space. There's just a lot there with her. She's cool. She's part of our team. And we did something with her. It's up on the site. Bruce Cooper sent over last night a mock draft 2.0 and the Cardinals. Always like getting stuff from Coop sent over. Claudia Collins is back after maternity leave. She put up an On the Rocks last night. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff over on the site you should check out. We chop it up with the great Doug Haller from The Athletic. That is next. It is always a good day when I can sit across from the Zoom and see Doug Haller on the other side, senior writer with The Athletic, so talented. He wrote a tremendous piece involving Chris Farley that I would say of all the things that you have written through the years, and when you write on things outside of just the usual, here's who won, here's who lost, that your passion really comes out. So how did Chris Farley, and if you've not, I've subscribed to The Athletic, so I can just say that straight up front. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, this piece alone is worth it, along with everything else that Doug does. So let's just start with Chris Farley, and how did this come to be?
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that, Brad. You're right. I mean, I like to do things that are a little bit quirky, a little bit that would surprise people, like, hey, I would never have thought of that. In December was the anniversary of Chris's death, and that Christian Laettner video circulated on social media, and two things came to mind, Brad. One, I had forgotten all about Chris Farley dressing up as Christian Laettner and doing those commercials. And two was, you know, has anyone ever done like an inside story, what it was like to film a commercial with Chris Farley back during his SNL prime? So the first thing I did was try to get a hold of Christian Laettner. I've tried to get a hold of Christian Laettner several times with Bobby Hurley coaching Arizona State several times over the years. I've got his cell phone number, never once responded, not one time. Texted him about Chris Farley and he got back to me immediately. So from there, it was just kind of finding the people who put the commercial together. So it was a lot of fun.
The feedback on it, I would imagine, has been much different than what you usually get, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're writing about someone that people remember, like Chris Farley, who touched a lot of people, you know, through his comedy and also the way he died. There's a bigger audience for that, for sure. And then to write about anything that's, you know, off straight beat covered. So, yeah, it's been good feedback. It's worked out really well. We knew we wanted to get it in before the NCAA tournament, so the timing was good. So it was just one of those things where everything kind of aligned.
Doug Haller with us for a few minutes. We'll get over to the tournament in a minute. I want to go to the Suns. We're sitting here towards the end of March, midpoint of March, and they are still going through the this player's out, that player's out. Well, it looks like they're together, then they're not together. You've been there. You've been in the midst of it. Do you think that this is a group that can put it all together for 6-8 weeks without having one of those big three have a blowout of a tire? Or is it, you know, Brad, it's all just going to come down to that?
I do not think that. I mean, all we have to go on is what we've seen so far, Brad. And so far that has not happened. They've had some really nice stretches where you think like, okay, if they can sustain this, they can build off of it. They can be dangerous in the playoffs, but it's just never happened. I think for them to make some noise, and they'll be dangerous. I don't think anyone's going to want to play the Suns in the playoffs just because of that star power. But, you know, we just, they look really good for stretches. And then, you know, injuries. I have concerns about whether they can get stops when they need it. Mm-hmm. Turnovers have been a problem. You know, it just seems to me like a team that still has like four or five really important parts. And I put Yusuf Nurkic in there because I think he's been tremendous.
Yep.
But the overall depth and maybe the way the roster is constructed, I think will be their shortcoming when the playoffs begin.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Nurkic. He's going to become a hack-a-shack guy in the playoffs, Doug, because that's, to me at least, I'm seeing a real weakness there, not just the other night at Cleveland, but just through the season. He's not been terrific there. And you can go get 30 boards all you want, but when it's playoff time and there's 2 minutes to go and you need a big board and that's the guy that they're going to foul, that's not a good combination. That's just one guy. But what do you think on that front?
Yeah, it was interesting when that happened. I did have that thought, you know, are we going to see this? Maybe not to the extent that we saw it with Shaq back in the day. But yeah, you're right. When it comes down to, you know, a possession game, that will be a strategy that people will use. I do have a little bit more faith in him to take it seriously, to work on it than we had with Shaq. Mm-hmm. But that's a problem. And then also, you know, he might be the best defensive rebounder in the league, but there's also some concerns there in certain pick and roll situations, coverages that, you know, you wonder about him being on the floor. But overall, when you look at his contribution, what they needed from him in the wake of the DeAndre Ayton trade, I think it's been a positive. At first, you know, and I got to admit, Brad, for a while there early in the season, I wasn't sure about that. But I think over as this has gone on, what DeAndre has done in Portland, I think it's been a good move for the Suns.
It's interesting you go that way, Doug, because just about a year ago at this time, Durant comes over and Monty is still here and Ayton is still here. A year later, Frank Vogel's the coach. Monty's gone. Ayton's gone. Is the team better than they were a year ago at this time? I think it's TBD in my case, but you may see it differently.
Potentially. I mean, the ceiling's higher, I think, just because of the star power, maybe. But we haven't seen it, you know. And we're still in press conferences after games in the locker room, and we're hearing the more time we're on the court, the better, you know? Right. Okay. Well, that has an expiration date. You know, we're in March, the playoffs start next month. At some point you have to admit you are what you are. And I will admit that Kevin Durant kind of accepts that. I mean, he was asked a question a couple nights ago, you know, what's the potential of this team? And instead of going full throttle, like, you know, he just said, you know, we're just trying to just get better every day. And I think he understands that, you know, they have work to do. I don't know. I think they have the potential to be a little bit better, but I still kind of see this team probably ending up in the same situation they were last year, you know, in the semifinals, running up against a better team and ending their season there.
Yeah, I mean, wins and losses aside, you just have to look at it, from my view at least, and say, yeah, on the court last year, they were better. But they didn't run into what they've run into this season, which is every other week somebody has something that happens to them. And is Bradley Beal able to be out there rather than, what's he missed, three stretches this season, I believe it is? Three or four stretches. And so it's hard to just gauge off of a game here or a game there. And I'm sure for you, you're there most every night. I'm not. I'm watching and saying, you know, is this all going to come together? And that leads me over to Ishbia. It reads to me like you are a fan of what he's all about, right? Am I fair to say that?
What I have concluded about Matt Ishbia, Matt, is that no matter how this season works out, no matter where they are financially and up against the salary cap, and it looks like they have no flexibility, he's not going to stop. You know, I talked to Tom Chambers about that, and I can't remember if this made the story that I wrote recently on Matt. If they don't reach the Western Conference Finals, if they don't make the finals, if they don't win a championship, Matt's not going to say, okay, let's run it back and hope for the best. That's not the way he thinks. That's not the way he operates. He is a type that he's not, I wouldn't describe him as patient. I think he will evaluate where their shortcomings, and he'll do something to make a move. We saw it at the deadline where I think they made a great move. That's that's helped them, that's given them a player that, you know, they needed, Royce O'Neal. But I just, I don't see him like being patient, saying, okay, we had injuries, we had some bad luck, let's figure that, let's do it again next year. He's going to change some things. And I wrote that he's made the Suns impossible to ignore. You know, they have the star power. Maybe that hasn't worked out as planned, but everything else that he's done, adding the WNBA All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game, the facility for the Mercury, you know, everything that he's done.
Grant trade, you know, yeah.
Right. The trade, all of it. The Ring of Honor stuff. If you're in this market, even nationally to some extent, you're aware of what's going on in Phoenix, and you're aware that they have a new owner and that he's making moves and making things happen. So a fan, I don't know if I would say that. I just think he would. I respect what he's done. I'm impressed by what he's done. And I don't think he's just going to stop. Now, I will say, if you can give me just 30 more seconds on this.
Sure. The
big question I see with Matt going forward is his ambition. Where will it stop with this basketball team? Will it kind of venture and stray into the NFL? I mean, he's been asked about the NFL and he hasn't backed off of that. I mean, I think one day that day will come where if he sees an opportunity, he may want to see what's available in the NFL. I'm not talking about abandoning the Suns. I think he's here for as long as he can stay. But I do think that he's a very ambitious person, and his sports ownership may not just stop in Phoenix.
Well, and I agree with you on that. I would say there's a lot, and I'm sure you've heard the same, of him swirling around the Coyotes, of him building a new arena, of him going that. There's just a lot around town. And the people that I've spoken to, unless they're in the mortgage industry, they're big fans. If they're in the mortgage industry, not so much.
It's funny because I've heard, I mean, just along those lines of the Coyotes, I heard earlier this season that he was going to be, that he was potentially involved in building ASU a new basketball arena because they needed a G League, a place for the G League team to play. And I did ask Matt about that, not specifically about building an ASU basketball arena, but about maybe partnering with ASU. And at the time when we talked, he said that there was nothing to that. He said they're having talks with a lot of different people. But I think it's just interesting that everyone's kind of looking at him as their lifeline in this market to try to pull them out of where they are.
Similarly to Jerry Colangelo back in the day.
A lot of similarities. And both you could see, like when Jerry bought the Diamondbacks, you know, he did whatever he had to do to get Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling to win a championship. And he did. Now there were some, you know, there were some debts they had to pay with that, but they did produce a World Series. So, you know, I don't know if their past will be the same, but I do know that Matt Ishbia will not stop in his quest to bring a title to Phoenix.
All right, bounce around over to the Cardinals. What do you make out of the draft pick, the offseason, everything with that team?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think Jonathan Gannon and Monty Osfort said it at the Combine that they prefer to build through the draft, and I think their actions kind of reflect that to this point. You know, filled some holes that they've had through free agency. I think some sound pickups, just not, you know, the big splashy headline grabbing pickups. Now, this team has a talent deficiency. I think we all saw that last year, especially late in the season when they matched up against teams like the 49ers. But, you know, fortunes can change quickly in the NFL. Make the right move, you can go from last place to first place. That's sure. We've seen through history. But I think there are holes, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines. DJ Humphreys, losing him late last season to an ACL was a killer. I think this is going to be a little bit more of a process for the Cardinals, and I think they're probably going about it the right way.
Bobby Hurley, you know him well. Is he back? Is he not back? From my view, everything I'm seeing of him and his actions is he intends to return. What about you?
Well, I'll start by saying I haven't been out there. You know, I've been doing the Suns bouncing around the valley and mostly in the pro sports. So I haven't covered ASU basketball this year. I do have a pretty good history of Bobby. I've watched just about every one of their games, Brad.
I'm sorry you had to do that.
He's a different coach. If you just observe Bobby, if you go back and watch just, you know, a game from when he first arrived, he's a different guy. I think he understands the challenge at Arizona State, and it's not getting easier. If you go back, Brad, and look at, you know, he's been there 9 years now, Bobby has. Herb Sendek was coached at ASU, the previous coach, 9 years. Their records are very similar. I would say, you know, Bobby has one more NCAA tournament appearance. you add the COVID year when they would have been in, that's another. So I think there have been more high points with Bobby. But I think, and that's not a reflection on Bobby's job, I think it's a reflection on ASU basketball. It is a really, really difficult job. And now it's a situation with NIL. Bobby in Arizona State, like most coaches at most schools, it's just going to be every offseason, you're going to have to rebuild your roster because the players you have are going to cash in and try to get more money elsewhere. Now, maybe ASU could do a better job at keeping some of those, but for the most part, it's going to be a complete roster rebuild. ASU doesn't have an AD, so I don't see how they can make a move there. I think it will come down with Bobby. Does he want to stay? I know they just bought a house in California recently, so geographically, it works good. It works out well. It was interesting to see his son, a walk-on, you know, get playing time a little bit there toward the end and go through the senior day festivities. That made me wonder, like, is he ready to bolt?
Sure.
I don't have an answer for you, but, you know, I think he understands perfectly well that this is not an easy job. And if other opportunities surface, I think he'd be silly not to at least listen.
All right. Last stuff. What are you working on? What's coming up that you can share?
There's a couple of Suns ideas that I've been working on. It's hard. It takes longer to kind of get to those. I also have a nostalgia piece similar to the one that's Chris Farley goes back a little bit further that I think will kind of surprise people. I don't want to give that one away yet, but it's written, it's filed. We're just looking for a publication date on that. And then, you know, it'll probably be, I'll be heading to Spokane for the first rounds of the NCAA tournament, I think, and then right into the Suns playoffs. So it'll be the next 2 months will be pretty stacked.
Nostalgia writer, nostalgia columnist, senior nostalgia writer for The Athletic. You like that one?
What? Nostalgia stories are so much fun. Sometimes I have to stop and think, like, is it just me? Am I getting old? Is that why I'm drawn to these stories? But, it is fun to kind of uncover something that people have totally forgotten about and maybe tell about it that people may not have realized. Everything that I've done along those lines, they've been really well received. So I'll keep doing them until my editor tells me to stop.
He is super talented, not only with a computer in front of him, but just as a person. And you can find all of his work over on The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to that. That is Doug Haller, and we're back with more after this timeout.